Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, prenatal chiropractor, childbirth educator, and labor doula. I'm joined today by co-host Brian Herzlinger. Brian's a film director who got his start starring in the $1,100 film My Date with Drew, which was rated the fourth most profitable film of all time and took the film festival circuit by storm, earning a long list of prestigious accolades. His career took off in several directions, including becoming a correspondent for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and the production of several successful films and many more on the way. My mom fell in love with Brian's Hallmark holiday special, Love Always Santa. Brian lives in Malibu, California with his wife and 1.5 children. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
You're
so glad I wrote that for you.
Thank you. I chopped it down.
When you said 1.5, I thought you were going to say like, and lives with his $1.5 million home or something like that. 1.5 what?
Depends on how well the podcast does.
That's true. And you're due with baby. Now, how far along are you with the second?
I knew you were going to ask me that, so I looked it up today. We're 25 weeks.
Thank you. Yeah. Is you, both of you, or mostly Megan?
Mostly Megan. Yeah.
I figured.
Yes, mostly Megan.
I carried a lot of the weight in all of our births. But you're not as much of a gentleman, obviously. Today's podcast is called Labor Day Surprises, partially because both all of our guests had babies with surprise endings, and one of them was on Labor Day. So without further ado, I will introduce our guests. Today we have Daniela Rua and Dave Olson, husband and wife. Danny was on our previous show, Danny and Pat.
Sorry, my daughter sneezed.
Oh, yeah. We also have Sierra Olson.
So dramatic.
A lot of babies in
she
here,
really
too.
She really wants attention.
And we covered your pregnancy quite a bit when you were in here.
With Patrick Murphy,
with Patrick, your personal trainer. Mm-hmm. And you had the baby just about how long ago?
When did I have Sierra?
This baby, Sierra.
Oh, she is, she was Labor Day, so she's currently 7 weeks along.
7 weeks
I don't
ago.
Know how long by the time this actually airs, but
yeah, so well, 7 weeks as
Labor
of this
Day.
Recording, a Labor Day baby, and we went through your awesome things that you've done, including Danzo Camigo. Did I say it right this time?
Yep.
Oh my God, what is that?
It's the Dancing
You're
with the Stars
have to listen,
in Portuguese.
Sarah, to
oh
the,
my God. Really pay attention.
I said it wrong the first time, so I just wanted to get it right the second time. And your husband, Dave, who's a business owner, husband to you and dad to your kids, River and Sierra.
So much more than that.
A few more things.
He's discreet.
For now. We'll see if we can keep it that way. Well, Dave, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
The best part about that was the silent nod he was doing in there. I love it. I love this. Yeah.
And then knock you over, enthusiastic, thank you. I could barely hold on to my stool.
He's very ticklish. Oh.
That's not an invitation.
How do you know, sister-in-law?
I don't
Let
know.
Me be. Oh. So, Sarah Wright Olson is here with her baby, Esme, and also somehow related. You are Quiet Dave's brother's wife.
Yep.
That is the relationship. Right. Less quiet brother.
Less quiet brother.
Much less quiet brother.
Much less quiet brother.
I hate the word sister-in-law.
You hate the word sister-in-law?
She. No, he said, I think the word is sister-in-law.
Yeah, the word is sister-in-law.
You couldn't hear him very well. We should have given you like a shot of whiskey before you got here.
It's not too late. I can Postmates over some whiskey. So, and your little Esme is just a few weeks older, right? Esme right now is how old?
She's 11 weeks old.
11 weeks?
11 and a half weeks,
Close
yeah.
cousins.
They're 3.5 weeks apart.
Close cousins for the second time in a row.
That's right.
Your boys are close together as well.
Boys are four months apart. Mm-hmm. 4.5 months apart.
So, I mean, before you have the next baby, does one of you make a phone call?
Trying to get pregnant? Okay, great. Us two.
I think we might have just done it. You better hurry. Labor Day surprises because, well, where do we start? Let's start with the one that came first, Esme.
Okay.
We talked in your Zen Mama about how your first pregnancy ended with a home birth and a large boy. He was 10 pounds of boy. And so for your second, you decided to have the baby in the hospital just because you knew that Esme was going to be a little bit on the big side as well.
Right.
And you thought maybe just with bigger babies, be in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You had a cool OB who's also been on this show, but I don't want to say who it is.
Can I say who it is?
Sure.
Yes. So I did think, well, actually I was told when I had Wyatt, my first baby, that my babies would only get bigger. Like that's just how it happens, right? They get a little bit bigger maybe. I was like, well, she's a girl. I bet she probably won't be bigger. She'll probably be smaller. I somehow like create this sort of like delusion when I'm pregnant that my baby is going to be 8 pounds or 8 and a half. And I used to walk into your office and you would be like, whoa. And then you would want to tell me how large my baby was probably going to be, but you didn't. You held back. but yeah, so I made the decision to have her in the hospital. I loved my doctor, Dr. Goldberg.
Jay Goldberg.
Yeah,
Jay Goldberg. He's on the episode called The Taboos of Pregnancy.
Ooh, okay.
It's a good one.
He's so rad.
He's very laid back.
He's so laid back.
He's really relaxed.
He was great because she was very large. And I thought, okay, my son was 9 pounds, 8 ounces. And I thought maybe she would be roughly around the same. And then she ended up being 11 pounds.
That's incredible. During the pregnancy, did he do ultrasounds and guesstimate how big she was?
You know, those things
are always wrong.
There was this ultrasound that happened. I feel like it was somewhere around like 36 weeks or so. And it was like the last ultrasound that I was going to be getting, maybe 36, 37 weeks. And he said, the ultrasound tech was like, oh my gosh, your baby's like almost 9 pounds right now. At least that's what it says. It's so, you know, wow, that's crazy. And I was like, if that's true, which I don't think that it is, my baby's going to be 11 pounds if she waits until the day she's born, right? I was like, there's no way that that's possible. And Dr. Goldberg was like, oh, you know, like you'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll figure it out. He was very chill about it. He's like, 2 weeks past your due date, then we might start doing some holistic things to move it along.
Oh, really?
And I was like, great. I didn't have anything to worry about. He wasn't going to rush me into it, even though he knew I was already carrying a very big baby. And then she was 11 pounds.
It's amazing that your babies are so big because their parents aren't so big.
I know. But I think, I don't know what it has to do with, but my great-grandmother had a bunch of kids, and her last baby was 14 pounds, and so they started around 10 pounds, and they just kept going up.
On what side?
From there, my mom's side. And
she's
still alive.
How big were you at birth?
I was 2 weeks early because my mom had a C-section, and I was 9 pounds.
2 weeks early. So mm-hmm. you had it too. You carried mm-hmm. the gene, so it comes from you.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't come from Eric.
You did this to yourself, Sarah.
No, I know. But then again, I married like a Norwegian man. So, you know, maybe it's also a fusion of the Viking.
I don't know. His brother's Norwegian. And how big are
our kids are pretty average size.
Yeah. He's a big, bigger Norwegian.
How tall are you?
He is taller than Eric.
6'3".
Wow. Yeah.
How big were you at birth?
Oh, I don't know.
No, he was eight pounds something, right?
Yeah. It's so funny. Did you ask Jeannie, our mother-in-law? Did you ask her the boy's weight?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. But when we were pregnant with our first, Sarah and I both consulted with our mother-in-law about how heavy the boys were, how long they were. So, yeah, we just really wanted to be informed.
Wait, how big were they?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I have it on my phone.
They were like 8 and 8 and a half or something
okay,
like that.
So average,
I don't know how much Eric
average Norwegians.
Yeah, average Viking baby.
Dave was 8 pounds, 4 ounces and 21.5 inches long with auburn hair.
Oh, sweet.
He's rolling his eyes.
He loved that comment from his mother.
And I was 7.4 and 19.7 inches long.
And the kids? Your kids.
Your kids.
My kids? River was 6 pounds, 9 ounces and 19 and a quarter inches. And Sierra was 7 pounds and 21.5 inches long. Both of them born at 37 weeks.
Hmm. We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients.
This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order.
So
pretty average size babies.
I'm gonna get back into your what happened, how you managed to bring that 11 pounder into the world. But you also had a Labor Day surprise, Dave and Daniela. Your baby, born at 37 weeks, was born Breech.
Was born Breech. Yes, that wasn't the surprise of Labor Day weekend. That surprise came a few days before Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. How long before that did you find out you were Breech?
Oh, 4 or 5 days.
Oh,
probably. So we started this sort of more naturalistic ways of trying to turn her. So I would sort of lie on the inversion table so to pull her out of the pelvis and kind of give her space to turn. You helped me out with certain types of massages, relaxing the hips and the glutes and everything. And then I tried moxibustion, which was burning what looked like a big piece of coal right by my pinky toe.
Mugwort.
Which is supposed to... Sierra, I am talking.
She remembers.
Thank you.
She remembers. She's like, what were you doing to me?
Yeah. So she was Breech, and we tried some naturalistic ways of doing it. In fact, I remember calling you and just being like, should I see you
every day?
Every single day, like, and should I do acupuncture every single day? Yeah.
Right.
I really wanted to turn her because I had in my mind that I wanted to have an unmedicated vaginal birth. And in my mind at the time, I figured if she's Breech, there's no way I can do that. It's just not going to be possible.
Yeah.
Maybe vaginal, but definitely not unmedicated. And, you know, it made me a little fearful that I wouldn't be able to fulfill this sort of... what ended up being a dream of mine was to have an unmedicated vaginal birth. It didn't happen with River because the water broke. I had to get induced, so that went out the window. Although there are women who are induced who do it unmedicated. But I remember being on your table and, you know, and saying, if I think this was before I discovered she was Breech. I don't know. You and I were talking about something, and I said, if she were Breech, probably won't do it unmedicated. And you very simply just said, why not? And that literally got me thinking, oh, yeah, why not? And you just walked me through, you know, it's like if it's the butt first, it's actually softer than the head, which actually probably makes it even easier than if it's the head first. So, you kind of gave me that little boost of confidence I needed to begin to place myself in a mental state that I could do this.
Yeah. I love how you take a challenge and you're like, I think I'll go Breech just to see if I can do that.
Why not? I got nothing to lose. If I don't do it, I don't do it. You know, I go a different route. But
that thing about the soft butt, that comes from, I have now a couple of dozen patients who've had babies both ways. Now you have also, but some vaginal head down, some vaginal Breech. And the overwhelming majority report back that during labor, it's more comfortable to have the soft bottom pushing down against the cervix.
I wouldn't be able to compare because I had an epidural with River, who was head first. And so I don't really have a means of comparison. I can tell you that doing it unmedicated, it probably doesn't matter which direction she was in, but just feeling exactly where she is in your body, and Sarah can probably vouch for this too, it's an incredible experience. And I could feel my body push her down. Not I wasn't pushing, my body was pushing. I didn't have to, you know, okay, 1, 2, 3, push, take a breath. It wasn't that. It was she was still kind of further up, and I could feel my body, there's no other word for it. Like, it was like heaving. It's like dry heaving, but downwards.
Yeah.
That is fascinating to me when you told me that. I think that
it was,
so cool. I did not have that experience.
Oh, really?
Neither time. But
interesting.
I loved hearing that because I read it in so many stories.
Oh, I never read that.
That people could feel their body pushing the baby down.
Yeah.
But like, it's I think that's
it's the only way I can compare it. Is, you know, you either feel sick or you've had too much to drink and your body starts heaving, but there's nothing left in your stomach. So it's pushing nothing up in this case. And you're sort of having this like continuous wave motion. But in this case, it was downwards.
Hmm.
And one contraction could be like 3 pushes down versus just like one big push.
It's amazing.
It was phenomenal.
I don't think I've heard someone describe it quite like that either.
Yeah.
Brian, how was it for you? Was it?
I was just thinking about the Body Snatchers movie was where I went because I was just thinking about the pods. But that's amazing. I've never ever heard that, and it's kind of interesting, especially from a male perspective, trying to imagine you know, your body in general pushing a baby out, but mm-hmm. to, you know, those, that kind of incremental, you know, check-ins that your body was giving you during the path of that is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But you're also very in tune. Like you work out a lot, and I think you focus on those small muscles and.
Yeah, I as you know, through our conversations and, you know, while I'm on your table, I almost overthink stuff and I overanalyze certain things. Evidently, she likes Daddy better. Dave just gave her to me, and she started whimpering again. And I kind of overanalyzed. So I, even though I was in the psychological zone that I had to be in, and I remember Sarah telling me about this with Wyatt, that you just go into this zone where you're not really present, but very present in your body.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm actually going through with this, because it really, really became an ultimate goal, which to me would break other cycles, you know, in my own life that of things that I didn't go through with. And so this to me was like, this will break a cycle that I don't like about myself, and it's going to push me into a place where I feel like I can do anything.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, it's like finishing something, but like finishing something that's
huge.
Like massive.
Yeah.
Right.
It's yeah, I feel very powerful after having given birth unmedicated.
As you should.
Mm-hmm.
You do kind of see like this glow almost afterwards that just sort of envelops the whole body. Like
yeah.
There's this like, I once had a patient in my office, and she's very athletic and challenged herself physically in a lot of different ways. And with her pregnancy, she said, "I'm definitely going to get an epidural." And I have nothing against epidurals. I was just like, "Why don't you want to experience it at all?" And like, she pushes herself and pays to do these incredible challenges, physical challenges. I'm like, why wouldn't you, like, nature just gives you like this amazing challenge. Why do you run away from it? And she said, well, there's no medal for being a hero during childbirth. And after that conversation, she just went off and started reading some things and watching some videos. And she got really kind of pumped up inside about it, but didn't want to get pumped up outside about it, and never talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But she never even told her husband. When they went to the hospital, her husband was like, I think it looks like it's time for the epidural now. And she's like, I think I'm not going to get one. And she just didn't want to like state it and put it out there,
right.
And set herself up to fail. And then she ended up, she said, let's go for a couple more hours. Let's go for a couple more hours. And then she made it all the way through. And
Wow. She
called me an hour after she had the baby. And she said, I'm wrong. There's a medal for being a hero during childbirth. And she just also, she had this amazing feeling come
yeah.
over her. Like there's nothing in this world that she can't do.
Yeah.
So
I completely agree with that. And I would say like the whatever it is that you feel like after giving birth, I mean, I've always, both times, felt so like I got ran over by a Mack truck. But at the same time, I felt on top of the world, like just out of my body still, with it's just the best feeling, like so good and exploding in so many ways. But then, you know, your body hurts, obviously. I'm not saying that that's not happening.
Yeah.
But
and
just
the
like,
first one, your rib exploded.
What?
And the first one, your rib exploded,
yes.
If I remember correctly.
It exploded.
Well,
it
felt like it exploded. I was pushing, and I was pushing for 4 hours with Wyatt. And then it was like I heard a gunshot go off in my ears and my body. It felt this crazy thing, and I was like, something broke in my chest. And the midwife was in front of me, and Eric was like to the left, and my friends were here, and everybody's just like, no, nothing happened. Just keep going. But then afterwards, they were all like, dude, that was crazy. Like, it totally sounded like a gunshot.
Oh, they all heard it too?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, well, that must explain why I can't lift my arms above my head. Like,
was it your rib or your clavicle?
It was your rib.
It was
your
rib.
Right,
it was
your
rib in the chest.
Yeah, he worked on
wow.
it for 4 days before popping
we
it back in.
Popped it back in.
Wow.
Ultimately.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like that makes me cringe more than the birth itself.
It sounded like a little cap gun going back in too.
It really did.
You guys are making me feel really guilty about complaining about my elbow pain.
Oh, but I thought we got rid of your.
No, you're doing a great job with
thank
it.
You
but
very
this
much.
Is like, you know.
What's by the way,
your elbows?
Oh,
this is ridiculous, but
in
Portuguese, an elbow pain means you're jealous.
Really?
If
that's
you
like
have
a term.
Pain in your elbow, it's a term for jealousy.
What are you jealous of?
Yeah, what's
I
wrong?
Tell you, I'm never going to Portugal. Like that.
If you go to the doctor, you'd be like, my elbow hurts, and like, of who?
Oh, what do you mean? Really?
Jealous of who?
Really?
No, wow. I'm just kidding.
Oh,
you make stuff up. Oh my God, I'm totally fell for
it. I'm so not worldly, I believe anything.
Norwegia.
Norwegia.
All right, let's take a break for a minute, and we'll come right back and get into the juicy details of the Labor Day surprises.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got